Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look once more at the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at this business of asking. Now, the proper focus of prayer is God. It really is all about Him. And sooner or later, it does come to that place where we ask, but that really is not the proper focus. When we get the focus right, we get it on Him. When it's God-focused and not me-focused, everything else falls into place. But what in our prayer? But what happens for many of us, or most of our prayer, is we pray when we need something, and so, or when somebody else needs something. Maybe we're interceding, and so we're praying for somebody else, and so we're asking God. And this is the way much prayer takes place. Heard a story about a young man who went into a candy store, and he told the owner of the store. He said, "I want 3 boxes of candy. I want a small box, a medium box, and a large box." And the owner said, "Well, okay, I don't necessarily mean to pry, but why do you want 3 different sizes boxes of candy?" And so the young man said, "Well, I've got a hot date tonight." And he said, "I'm going over to her house and have dinner with her family, and then I'm taking her out. And if she lets me hold her hand, I'm going to give her that small box of chocolate. And if she lets me kiss her, then I'm going to give her the medium box of chocolates." And he said, "And if I get, you know, a little bit more than that, and you know what I mean, I'm going to give her the large box of chocolates." And so the man said, "Well, okay," and sold him his 3 box of chocolates. And that night, the young man went over to the house and sat down at the dinner table with the family. And before they ate, he said, "Do y'all mind if I pray?" And I said, "No, please, go ahead and pray." And so this young man began to pray. And I mean, he laid it all out there. He got saved in this prayer. He committed to foreign missions. He said, "I commit my whole life. God, I ask you to forgive me all my sin, change my life." I mean, he just went through the whole thing right there. I mean, he prayed this beautiful, powerful prayer in which he, by the end of it, I mean, he was leaving for Africa, you know, the next day as a foreign missionary. And so finally said amen. And the young lady sitting next to him, you know, she kind of leaned over and said, "I didn't realize you were so religious." And he said, "Yeah, and I didn't realize that your dad owned a candy store." And that's just kind of the way, that's just kind of the way prayer works for many of us. I mean, we have a need, and we go to the Lord in prayer, you know, asking God, "Do something for me, help me out here." And there is that proper place. There is that proper place for asking or for requests in our prayer, but that's not where we start. We start with God, and when we get God in focus, then everything else falls into place. Or we could say it this way: prayer ultimately is worship based. And when we worship God, when our lives are laid out before God, then it is just normal that all these things come into place. And we do get to that place where we lay our requests before Him. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition, let your requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so we get to that place where we lay our requests before Him. That's not where we begin, but because we are human beings and we have need, now we come and we lay our petitions before Him after we have recognized that He is sovereign God over all things, and so we've worshiped Him. And this is what Jesus taught. So as His disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. We're going to read this whole passage again. Remember, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is teaching His disciples how to be kingdom people, how to live in the kingdom. And so He comes to prayer, and He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard of because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now notice, he said, don't pray this way, and it's all about the need. Because you see, here they are, and these different types of folks, they're praying these different types of prayers. But Jesus says, listen, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. You don't have to pray that way. So here we go. This then is how you should pray. Verse 9, our Father in heaven. That's where it starts. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we get to the petition. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His word. Now, I just want to mention three things here when it comes to the proper petition or the proper way to approach God with your petition. Obviously, worship-based, okay? So we focus on Him, and then we get to that point where we lay our petitions, everything we lay before Him, as Paul said in Philippians 4, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, lay your requests before the Lord. And so here we go. First thing, when you ask, ask in faith. When you ask, always ask in faith. Remember the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God is not pleased apart from faith, and prayer apart from faith ultimately becomes meaningless because it doesn't do anything for us, it doesn't do anything for God. If you can't believe, first of all, that He is there, and this is a faith thing, this is a faith statement, if you can't come to this God that you can't see, then there's no way that you can trust Him for Him to do anything for you. And so ask in faith. Now, when you ask in faith, a couple of things are going to happen. Or a couple of things you need to understand. Because this prayer, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Now that is a faith statement. And when you pray that way, what you're doing is this. First of all, you need to understand that your Father knows your need before you even ask. This is a faith statement. He knows what you need. He is aware of your need before you even ask. Jesus even said that down in verse 8, if you look at it. He said, don't be like these other folks the way they pray, for your Father knows your need before you ask Him. Now, what this does is it reminds us that God is not this separated, sitting off somewhere, disinterested overlord that's just kind of casting down commands upon us. He is a heavenly Father, and He loves us. And He cares about us. And He knows your need even before you ask it. Let me just give you an illustration of this. How many of you in here are breathing right now? Almost everybody. Thank you. And my guess is that not too many of us have ever asked God for our next breath. Now, if you've ever had anything like emphysema or you've had some lung problems, it might very well have been that there have been times where you've asked God for your next breath. But most of us are just sitting here this morning and we're just breathing in and out, not even thinking about it. Think about this. Just understand something here. Do you know that God knew that you needed air? You don't even have to ask God for air. He created you the way you are, and He knows exactly that you needed air in your lungs. When you were a little baby, you needed air, and God already had provided a whole bunch of air right there around you so that you could breathe in and out and live. This is part of the provision of God. He knows your need even before you ask, and that's a faith statement. We're asking in faith. Second thing is this. Your Father is able to supply your need. Not only does He know it, but He's able to supply it. Now again, this is that faith statement. Because if God is not able, there's no reason to ask in the first place, right? I mean, for example, if you came to me and asked me for some money. Let's say, you said, Brother Greg, I need $1 million. And I'm asking you to give me $1 million. Now, you know what? I could say, no problem at all. Let me give you a check. And I write this check out for $1 million. And I hand it to you. And man, you're just so excited because you've got $1 million. You know, the only thing is, you don't have $1 million. Because that check's no good, because I don't have $1 million. I mean, right now, you know, I'm kind of like that guy that I'm just about $50 shy of 47 cents. I mean, you know, you're not going to get too much from me if you ask me. I'm not able, but God is able. When he writes the check, it's good. You understand? I mean, he's able to do all things. Kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, when that Old Testament trio in the book of Daniel, when old King Nebuchadnezzar says, you're going to bow before my image, or I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And what God is going to deliver you then? And remember their reply. They said, our God is able, and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your image. And I really appreciate that last part. But the first part is key. They said, our God is able. Beloved, we serve an able God. He is able to do all things. And this is the basis of our request. See, it's a faith thing. So understand that your God knows your need. Number two, that he is able to supply your need. And then thirdly, that he does give you even the most basic need. Your most basic needs are supplied by God. I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, do it this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Now just think about that. What are your basic needs every day? Well, we all need things like food and clothing and shelter and love and all of that. Do you know that God has committed himself, and this is just out of his love. This is just because he's God. God has committed himself to provide the most basic, everything, needs for his children. In fact, there's not anything that's too insignificant for God. Later on in this sixth chapter, Jesus talks about the birds of the air. And he says, you know, they fly around and God provides them with a nest. And he says, you know, if God provides for the birds, how much more do you think he's going to provide for you? He said, look over there at the flowers and look how beautifully those flowers are adorned. And he said, you know, if God who has done that, and that's God because that's part of his creation, right? If God does that for flowers, how much more do you think that God is going to take care of your need? And beloved, when you understand this, when you understand what Jesus is teaching us here, what happens is everything takes on spiritual significance. Everything. Even eating a bowl of cereal. And I mention that because every morning, almost every morning, 6 mornings out of 7, I eat a bowl of Raisin Bran. And because I just like Raisin Bran, and I don't know, I don't even know when I started, I just eat Raisin Bran. And so Donna's always buying Raisin Bran because every morning I'm going to have a bowl of Raisin Bran. And the other day, in fact, this was a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing for all of this and I was thinking through, and I like to pray. I pray before every meal, and sometimes it gets annoying to other people, but I pray. And so I was thanking God for this bowl of Raisin Bran. One morning I was sitting there with my bowl of Raisin Bran, and I said, Lord, help me to be truly grateful to you for this Raisin Bran. And so I began to thinking about it, and I said, well, God has provided this Raisin Bran for me. But then it dawned on me, you know, that bowl of Raisin Bran just didn't appear, you know, that day. I mean, something had to happen for me to get my bowl of Raisin Bran. And it all began even months, maybe years before. I don't know how long they make Raisin Bran or what it takes, but someplace, sometime, there was like a seed put in the ground of some wheat. I guess that's what they make Raisin Bran out of, and then raisin, there's some grapes. And so the rain fell, and that wheat grew, and God caused that to happen. And I got to thinking about this. God, even before, you know, that day came when I was going to eat this bowl of Raisin Bran, God had already been at work growing wheat and raisins and all that stuff, and then giving people wisdom to put all that together so that I could have my bowl of Raisin Bran. And all that happened before that day. I just didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, hey, y'all figure this out because I want some Raisin Bran. God had already been at work. You understand? And you know, when you begin to look at every area of your life and everything that you have, you begin to understand that God is working in ways that maybe you don't even realize or can't even begin to understand, but it is your heavenly Father providing for you or making provision for His children. And beloved, that might sound kind of crazy for you, but I would encourage you to begin to look at every area of your life from a God focus. Because that's what's happening here. Jesus said, we're focusing on Him, and then we come to this place, Lord, you know I'm going to need some daily bread. I've got to eat today, and I've got other needs. And so we lay all those things out before the Lord. All of this is faith. And so when you pray, when you lay your request before God, first of all, ask in faith. Ask in faith. Second thing is this. Ask with His kingdom in focus. With His kingdom in focus. Now, remember that Jesus said, right before this, He said, here's part of your prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And you know, we preached on this last week, and I said that when you pray that prayer, your kingdom come, what you're saying is, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. Don't let it bypass me. Let your will be done in me, in my life. And so I'm going to take my plans today, Lord, and I'm going to set them aside for your plans. I'm going to take my agenda and set it aside for your agenda. Whatever it is that you've got going on and whatever you want to do, you've got perfect permission in my life to do whatever it is. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then what happens is when your life becomes kingdom focused or kingdom based like that, then as you begin to pray, everything, your most basic needs and all the other needs begin to get met. Let me just give you an example. Let's say that you've got an old beater of a car and you need a new car. And so you begin to pray, God, give me a new car. But nothing seems to happen that way because really you can keep driving this old car, but you'd just like to have a new car because who doesn't want a new car, right? But suppose, on the other hand, that you're out driving in your car one day and you go by one of these, you go by the apartments over here and there's a whole bunch of children running around out there and you begin to think, God, I wonder if those children know you. Would you begin to show me how my life might make a difference in these children's lives so they might come to know you? And so the Lord puts it on your heart, well, why don't you begin to talk to them and see with their parents if you could bring them to church sometime. And then you say, well, okay, well, Lord, so you're calling me to bring these children to church, but my vehicle wouldn't work that way. So now, Lord, I begin to lay my life before you, and here I want to be used by you for your kingdom. And I'm going to need a car in order to do what you're calling me to do. Now watch this. Now your need and the kingdom of God have intersected perfectly. And God has committed Himself to provide your need because God's will is always going to take God's, or is always going to have God's provision. And so when the will of God or the kingdom of God is being worked out in your life, then the provision of God is going to be overwhelming because you're never going to lack. Now, do you understand how the prayer then begins to change? As we lay our lives before Him and His kingdom comes into focus, God's will done God's way is always going to have God's provision. And so when God's will is primary in my life, or the kingdom of God is primary, then the provision of God is always going to be complete. And so what happens is our prayer turns from selfish focus or selfish gain, and it takes on eternal significance. So we're not saying, God, give me just because I want. We're saying, Lord, your kingdom come, and as your kingdom come, these things take place. Notice Jesus said this. If you look down at verse 33 of this own passage, this same passage, this same chapter. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Watch this. And all these things will be given to you as well. Now, beloved, that's a promise of God. He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else is going to fall into place. You're not going to be in want. You're not going to lack. There's not going to be anything that you're going to say, well, I don't have God. No, because your kingdom or your life lined up with the kingdom of God and the will of God, then the perfect provision of God comes. So ask in faith. Ask with his kingdom in focus. And then lastly, I want to spend a little bit more time on this. Ask with your whole life set before him. And when I say your whole life, I'm talking about every aspect of your life. You know, when we talk about God, we talk about Trinity, right? It's God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we might not understand every nuance about the Trinity, but we believe God is one in three. Do you know you are one in three as well? You are body, soul, spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. There is more to you than just what we see. I mean, we see your body, that's your physical part. But you are also a soul. And your soul is the mind or the consciousness that dwells within you. And then your spirit is that part of you created in the image of God that touches God. And so every one of us are body, soul, spirit. Now watch this. Everybody in here has physical needs. I mentioned some of them before. You need food, clothing, shelter. But we also have soul needs. And we also have spiritual needs. And isn't it interesting that Jesus taught us here to pray in this way, laying all these needs before him. So watch this. He said, first of all, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, our daily bread is our physical needs. Okay? And we all have these. And your Father knows what they are. Food, clothing, shelter, car, home. You know, whatever it is that you need physically. Now, Jesus said, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, meet our physical needs every day. Now, what this does is, it helps us not get too far ahead of God when we pray for our daily bread. And to understand this, really, you got to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel were provided each day with manna. And every day they gathered their manna and they made their bread and they ate and they had plenty to eat. But any manna that they gathered, they tried to leave over to the next day, unless it was the Sabbath day, it just wouldn't work. It was spoiled and filled with worms and maggots and everything else. You couldn't eat it. And God was teaching his people, I'm going to provide for you, but you're going to have to rely on me. I'm going to do it today. You're not sure what's going to come tomorrow, but I'm in tomorrow, so I'll take care of that. So you trust me today for your daily bread. So Jesus said, when you pray, ask him for your daily bread. What this does is it keeps us constantly reminded that we have to rely on him today. That without him, we're done. And what happens is when we do this, when we rely on him daily, it eliminates worry. Remember Philippians 4:6, quoted at the beginning? Be anxious for nothing, he said. Worry about nothing, he said, but in everything, with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now understand, what happens is when we begin to pray, we're taking all of our cares and we're laying it on him. And so now he becomes responsible. Look at the last verse here in chapter 6. At the very end, Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, beloved, he's not talking about don't make any plans or don't save any money or anything else like that, because there's plenty of scripture to guide us in those areas. He's saying that whatever it is you're trusting on, you leave it before him and you rely on him every day. And then he becomes responsible for you each day. So now the worry is gone, and now I can actually live the joy of the Lord daily in my life because I'm trusting him every day. Okay, you got that? So here's your physical need, daily bread. Trust in him every day. But it doesn't end there. Now he gets to the soul needs. And so he says, so give us this day our daily bread, verse 11, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the prayer here is for soul cleansing. And notice that he uses the word debt. And I know that some of us in here, we're in debt. And some of us are so deep in debt, we're not, I mean, it's hard to trust God for our daily bread because, man, I tell you what, we ate our daily bread about 6 weeks ago, and now we're on, you know, next year's daily bread already. And, beloved, we've got something here in our church called Financial Peace University that I encourage you to get into if you have a problem with debt. And in our culture, in our society, where you just pull out a credit card and pay for everything, it's very easy to do. So, and what happens when we get in debt keeps us up at night, right? We get sleepless nights and worrying about how we're going to make it. But let me just ask you a question. Think about this. When was the last time that you lost sleep over your sin debt? I mean, when was the last time that your sin just so overwhelmed you and you understood, as David did, that all your sin is against God and you lost sleep because of your sin? That, beloved, do you know that sin grieves the Holy Spirit? And do you know that sin separates us from God? You know the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? And so since we are all sinners, this business of soul cleansing is vital for us. Because without taking care of this, then what happens is we live in constant disfellowship with God. Now, beloved, God is concerned about your physical needs. But even more than that, He's concerned about your relationship with Him. And this is why Jesus said, start there. Give us this day our daily bread. There's our physical needs. But forgive us our debts. Here is our soul need. Here is that part of us that connects with God. It must be cleansed. And what happens is when we are not cleansed, when we're carrying a load of sin, it makes our prayers unheard. I heard a story by Norman Vincent Peale. I don't know if you remember him. He wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. He's actually the one who started the magazine Guidepost, that magazine of inspiration. Many of you have read Guidepost. Norman Vincent Peale told a story in Guidepost one time about when he was a young boy, and he found a cigar, and he decided to smoke it. So he lit up this cigar. He knew his dad would disapprove, and he really didn't like the way it tasted, but he liked the way it made him feel. You know, it made him feel like a man, you know, a big kid, you know, a big guy. So he's smoking this cigar when his dad comes up. And so he takes the cigar and he hides it behind his back real quick. That's the only thing he could do. He's hiding the cigar behind his back, and his dad comes up, and to divert his attention and try to keep him from noticing the cigar, there was a pamphlet or a poster over there for the circus. And so Vincent said, "Dad, look, the circus is coming to town. Could we go to the circus, please?" And his dad just looked at him, you know, the smoke's coming up behind him and everything. And his dad said, "Son, never make a request while trying to hide smoldering disobedience. Never make a request while trying to hide smoldering disobedience." And this is why Jesus says, "Forgive us our debts." Because I've got a soul need, Lord. And more than anything else, I need cleansing. But watch this. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Look what happens. Forgiveness comes in this way from God. And then it goes out this way towards others who have wronged us. You see the flow of forgiveness? Forgiveness is not ever intended just to hang on in there. It doesn't need to, because it washes away all of our sin. And now it begins to flow out. We can forgive because we're forgiven. And so he says, "Cleanse us, Father. Forgive us our debts in the same way that we allow cleansing to flow to other people." In 1 John 1:9, John said, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then that cleansing just flows out to others as well. So we've got physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Soul needs. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then notice the spiritual need. And this is actually guidance. He said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, beloved, let me just remind you or say, first of all, that God does not tempt you to sin. In James chapter 1, verse 13, James wrote, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And then he goes on to say that temptation comes from our adversary, the devil. Now, you have an adversary. He is the devil. And he wants to lead you away from God. His great desire is to mess you up, to get you all knotted up and tangled up, and separate you from the life-giving flow that comes from your Heavenly Father. And so what God does is he makes provision for us so that we can leave the tempter aside. He makes provision, or the path of provision, so that we can overcome temptation and live the kind of lives that God would have us to live, our holy lives. And so this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," is basically, in this prayer, you're basically saying, "God, help me to stay on your path. God, lead and guide my life so I won't be overwhelmed by the adversary, so that he won't have any victory in my life, so that he won't be able to do anything in me." I want to give you a very precious promise from the Word of God. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now watch this. He says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." Okay, so nobody in here is going to be able to say, "Well, you know what? I'm tempted in ways nobody else is." No. "No temptation has seized you except which is common to everybody." That means we're all tempted in the same ways. Now watch this. "And God is faithful." Praise God. "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Now, in other words, God has not only measured you, he knows you, but he's measured temptation as well. He's measured your temptation. And so there's nothing that can come along. You say, "Well, God, I just can't stand this." No, God has provided for you in this way. This is your spiritual need. He's provided guidance. And when Jesus says, "Ask this way, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, beloved, a daily prayer ought to be, "God, help me to stay on your path. God, I know I'm going to be tempted. When I go out there, things are going to come into my life through these eyes and through these ears and through this mind. I'm going to think these things. God, I need your provision daily to overcome the things that this world throws out at me." And so this is the spiritual need. And beloved, this is the greatest need that every believer has. Listen, you need this more than you need air, more than you need water. You need the spiritual water, because this is spiritual life. How does it come? It comes through prayer. It comes through prayer. This is what Jesus is saying. Pray this. This is a legitimate request of God, this spiritual need. "God, I need you today to guide my life." Now, beloved, when you are praying, the devil has no claim or hold on you. Now, look at this. When we are working or even worshiping or living or doing all of those things, and not praying, it don't bother the devil at all. Devil's not bothered by that. Because he knows he's still got that inroad in your life through temptation. But when we pray, the devil trembles. Because he's got no hold. He's got no foothold. He's got no avenue into your life. This is the proper request. "Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I know I've got physical needs, and I need you to take care of them because I can't. Forgive me my debts because I've got soul needs. I'm a sinner. And Lord, as forgiveness flows in this way, I'm going to let it flow on out that way as I forgive my debtors. And Lord, I've got spiritual needs, so lead me not into temptation. Lord, as I lay my life out before you, my entire life, I ask you to guide my life and to keep me going in your direction along your path. And then notice how it ends, and we'll wrap it up with this. For yours is the kingdom. See how it all comes back to that kingdom focus? It really is all about you. If yours is the kingdom, Lord, my life is yours. My life belongs to you. Now, beloved, watch this. One day, when we get to heaven, and we're there in the kingdom of God, around the throne of God, where God's perfect will is done, none of these requests are going to be legitimate, because you're not going to have any physical needs in that day. You're not going to have any soul needs, because there's not going to be any sin there. And you're not going to have any spiritual needs as well, because you're going to be perfectly connected to the Father on that day. But until that day, we pray. And we must pray. And pray is our lifeline. And watch this. As we pray, we're practicing for the kingdom. And actually, the kingdom comes flooding into our lives. And so now we're prepared for whatever God does. If He takes us out of here today, man, we're ready to go. If He waits till next year or 10 years or 100 years or whenever, if He takes us at death, we're ready then too. The kingdom of God, it's yours. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen, amen. And here's my life. I lay it before you. One day I'm not going to have to pray these prayers. I'm not going to have to lay these requests before you, Lord. But until that time, here's my life. Physical needs, my daily bread. Soul needs, my debts. Spiritual needs, I need you to guide me. Beloved, this is how to ask God anything and everything. Father, help us today as we focus on you, as our lives become transparent before you. Lord, I ask that there would be no need among us that we could say, well, God didn't take care of that. So, Lord, I'm asking, because I know that you have already provided all these needs. Lord, I'm asking today that you would open our spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear you and to know you. And Father, some of us in here today, we need to be saved because we've never laid our life out before you and given you our life. We've never received that living water. Oh, we've got water coming out of the tap at home, but that just keeps our heart beating. But Lord, there's no life. And so today, Lord, I pray for that life. I pray for the spiritual living water. Lord, I pray that every need, physical, soul, and spiritual, be met here today so that when we leave this place, Lord, every one of us are living in the light of your love, saved, forgiven, living. God, help us today as we just lift up holy hands. Lord, as we lay our lives before you, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.